You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
To the book of Philippians, if you would, please. Philippians chapter number 4. I have a love-hate relationship with singing. I love to sing. I don't like to sing specials. It makes me so nervous. I've said it so many times, I'd rather preach 10,000 messages than sing a solo. It just makes me so nervous. But I have been blessed so much by this service today, by your singing, by your spirit, by your presence being in church today. I tell you, I was not here Wednesday night. Our family came back from Florida with a stomach flu, and I think we got it from our family. They shared because they cared, you know. And so Saturday night this last week, Silas got sick. And then just one by one, it cascaded down through our kids and just tons of buckets around our house and a lot of cleaning things up. I didn't. My wife did. Praise the Lord. I looked at it, and I was gonna join them. And eventually I did. Tuesday and Wednesday I was sick, and a little bit Thursday. And so I missed the service, but I watched, and Brother Jones preached a phenomenal message on Wednesday. It was so challenging, and I sat there half dead in my living room watching it and enjoyed it. But I got to tell you, I could not be somebody that just watched church online. I just couldn't do it. And I'm not blaming you. If you're here watching, God bless you. We're thankful you watch. Goodness. But for me, I was like, I miss my fellowship. You only hear the song leader when you're online listening. And so it's like a solo for every song, you know, four verses of this solo and all that. I love being in church. Every time I walk in, every time I walk in the auditorium, I take a deep breath. I just love the smell of church. I love to be around him. I love the smell of church when it's empty. But when some of you get here, the smell of church kind of changes, and I don't love it so much. But I'm just teasing. But I love being in church, and I'm so thankful that even just missing one service makes me thankful to be back in church. I want to preach this morning a message entitled Practice Makes Perfect. Practice Makes Perfect. Last week I did a strange thing, and out of the book of Philippians I preached on one message. And I'm going to do a strange thing again. And it's becoming a non-strange thing if I keep doing it, but I want to preach on one verse today as we're going verse by verse through this. And then the next several verses are together. They are on the same thought, and the next several after that. So we've only got maybe 3 weeks left in the book of Philippians, which is amazing to think about, that we just started just a little bit ago. And I'm excited to get through there and see what the Lord would have for us next. But this morning, I want to preach on Philippians 4:9. I want you to look at that verse, but we need to read some context to get to that verse. So I want you to look at verse number 4, and remember that Paul had just addressed two ladies in his church that were causing an issue. And I thank God that we have got no ladies in our church that have any issues with each other. I'm just so thankful that there's not one problem in this church. And if you become the problem, I will name you publicly that you are now problem one. So don't become that person. All right. Verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, and again, we look at that word, it means gentleness, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. Be full of care. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, Brother Jim just talked about having peace in the midst of difficult times. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's any excellence in it, if there be any praise, if it's praiseworthy at all, think on these things. And here we go, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Father, I pray that you'd bless our message this morning as I try to keep it brief. And I pray that you would help us to pay attention, to be aware of what you are trying to say to us today. It's been a great service. And I pray that you would just, as we're to the most important part, the Word of God, may you take it and use it in our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When I went to Bible college way on back in 2002, I joined a bus route. My home church did not have a bus route growing up, not yet at the time. And I got onto a bus route going and picking up adults, boys, girls, everybody, teenagers, picking them up for church. And I remember getting on that bus route, and it was only after a few weeks of being on the route that my bus captain said, guess what? You're singing the next song. Because we led songs on the bus, you know, some crazy songs and stuff. And I said, no, I'm not. And he goes, you're up. I said, that is a country, yes, that Europe is a country, but I'm not up, no. And you know, he was dead serious. He said, okay, all right, that's fine. But next week, you're leading a couple. And I had to prepare myself for this. Well, I didn't know a lot of these songs. I mean, they're not songs we would sing in church, you know. We would sing them on the bus routes and stuff like that. It's not like we're singing Bob Dylan or something, but they're good songs, but we weren't, you know, it's like clapping songs and kids' songs. The songs we'd sing probably in junior church right now. But he taught me, like all these songs. I didn't know hardly any of them. And, you know, we'd sing Spring Up, Oh Well, Splish Splash, Within My Soul. You guys maybe know some of those, like, you know. But there are some really weird ones like Potato Chip, Potato Chip. You know, just like some strange. Some of you have been on a bus route, you know. You're like, why would you sing a song about a potato chip? I got no idea why we sing it. But we learned the frog song. My wife taught me the frog song, and I won't do that for you right now to embarrass myself. It'll be online forever. But one of the songs that he taught us, he did teach some scripture songs, but my bus captain taught this as a song. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't know how the song really goes. Because the man was tone deaf. And he would sing, those things which you have both learners and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace. And we're just like, oh, that's why he wants me to lead the singing. Anybody but him. And so I will be honest, I don't even know how the song really goes. I can give you the first part there, and I kind of did, and that's all you're going to get. But that was my introduction, really, to memorizing this verse. And so every time I think of it, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so it's a great verse. Now, I want to just help you with this. The last part of the verse, and the God of peace shall be with you, is summarizing. We need to see the previous verses to understand that part. So we're going to get to that. I'm going to explain that to you. But I like how verse 8 ends. Verse 8 says, think on these things. And then verse 9 starts with those things. So we have these things and those things, okay? So we're going to look at a little bit of this and how that comes into play and all of that. I want to give you three thoughts this morning. I want you to see from this verse, okay? We're talking about practice makes perfect. I want you to see, first of all, the pattern of Paul. The pattern of Paul. Look what it says here. Those things which ye have both learned, he's talking to the church of Philippi, that you've learned and received, the things that I taught you, the things that were passed down, the things that you saw me do. So some of the stuff was taught and some of the stuff was caught. You understand what I mean by that? He taught them, but other things you just learned by watching people. And so you catch it. And you're like, oh, okay, that's how you do it. So he's saying the things that you've been taught, the things that you've caught and heard and seen, what you listened to, what you looked at, what you saw in me. But did you see that? He said, what you saw in me. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. So there's a pattern. So Paul is saying, I've given you an example. He's referring to some specific things. And again, we're going to come back to that in the last point. But can I just ask, what had they seen Paul do? What had they seen Paul do? If they're watching Paul's example, what had they learned from Paul? Well, let me ask you this. Did Paul know about peace? Yeah, Paul knew about peace. Wasn't he the one in Acts chapter 16 sitting in the jail cell with Silas singing praises at midnight to God as he's sitting in prison? Did Paul know about peace? Paul knew about peace. Where is he writing from when he writes to them? He's writing from prison. Paul knew about peace. He's telling them to rejoice in the Lord, get control of your thought life. He talks about the gospel message in here. And I tell you, he was able to teach them a lot of things, and I'm sure they observed a lot from Paul. Imagine if Paul lived today, if Paul was the pastor of Gethsemane Baptist Church, wouldn't he have some things to teach you? Wouldn't you learn a lot? Not even so much, you'd learn by what he said, but wouldn't you learn a lot more by watching him? And Paul said, look, I was around you. I've fully dedicated and given my life to God. And so if you see me following Christ, what you saw me do, what you heard me do, what I taught you to do, what you caught from just being around me, do those things. Do those things. What you've learned and received, what you've seen. And so if you're going to do that, if these Philippian people that Paul loved, that Paul cared for, if they are going to imitate Paul, they must pay attention to what Paul was doing and to what Paul was saying. It's important to pay attention. It's important to be aware, right? My wife is always, and we talk about spiritual things so often, and she comes up with these spiritual applications for things. And I won't share your new one because it's good. It's really good. It's probably going to go in a book or something. So I don't want to spill the beans. I'm going to preach it next week. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. But I'll come home and she say, you know what I was thinking about? And she'll take like a situation in life or something, you know, just in the kitchen or somewhere else and say, you know what, think about this for a second. And she'll say something and say, isn't that true spiritually? And I'm like, man, why didn't I think of that? That would have preached so well, you know, like for me, if I would have come up with it, you know. But I tell you, she's getting those things, and she really does get these great ideas and truths. Why? Because she's looking for them. And she's looking and listening for the great teacher to teach her things. You know why oftentimes we don't get anything throughout the week from God? We're not looking for anything. We treat the school of prayer and we treat the school of the Bible like we treated high school. I don't want it. I'll only go when they make me on Sunday. I don't know how many people were just like, I love school. I love school all the way. Anybody like that? And I won't make fun of you. You love school. I'm going to make fun of you, Miss Ruth. I'll tell you what. How dare... No, just kidding. But if you did, that's great. I mean, like, but did you realize that when you raised your hand, not a lot of other people did? And maybe you love school because you were great at a sport or, you know, you're a social butterfly and you didn't get that. Maybe you just love to learn. God bless you, whichever one it is. I did not like school. And I know a lot of people didn't. There were certain classes I didn't like or whatever. But can I say, when it comes to learning the Christian life, we shouldn't treat it like we treated high school. Oh, I have to do... No. You and I miss out on so many of God's lessons because we're not paying attention to the teacher. Because I'll tell you, every single day, God is trying to teach you and me something. Every day. And I would just challenge you this week, start thinking about things that you run across. What spiritual applications, and I'm not trying to be corny, but what spiritual applications could you get from a stoplight? Okay? You're going to hit one this week. They're everywhere, right? And they're long. And you're going to sit in traffic at some point this week. Hey, you're going to probably go to a fast food restaurant. What could fast food teach you about the Christian life? How we need everything right now. We can't wait for anything. If you begin to exercise that spiritual muscle, you will begin to see things and you will actually begin to live like a Christian throughout the week. God is teaching all the time. The question is, are we learning? Are we receiving? Are we hearing? Are we watching? That's the question. And here Paul is giving an example to the people of Philippi. But can I ask you this question too? Who are you watching? Whose example are you following? So the problem with a lot of people, now here's the thing. When I'm talking about an example, I'm saying you're looking at someone and saying, they're doing it like Christ, so I'm going to do it like them. Sometimes we need people, we need in our lives, we have the Bible, but sometimes we need to see a flesh and blood example of how to live out that biblical truth. And that's why we have mature Christians and older Christians and things like that that can help show us that, right? But the problem that I see with a lot of Christianity, and I've been guilty of it too, is that we're following and looking and watching the wrong people. Who do our teenagers imitate? Oh, whoever the newest NBA star is. Or whoever the social media influencer is. And we can be guilty of this. TV personalities and celebrities, and now we're dressing like this, or even unsaved coworkers and things like that. Worldly Christians, etc. We're following the world, and we follow the pattern of people that we're really not supposed to be following. It was either 1 Peter or 2 Peter 2:21 that Jesus said he left us an example that we should follow his steps. Follow his steps. We could follow in Jesus' steps. Now, I'll tell you this, and I'll move on to the next point, because I can tell you don't like this one. Not many people really want to follow Christ. You know why? It's hard. It's hard. Because if you follow the footsteps of Jesus, it's a path of sacrifice. It's a path of selflessness, putting others in front of you. It's a path of service, but it also leads to a cross. And people don't want that. But Jesus said, I've left an example. You see what I did? Do that. What did he do with his disciples? He took a towel, girded himself, and knelt down in front of these men we've talked about before, men's feet are disgusting. And he knelt down in front of these men with their dirty feet and long toenails, probably over the edge of their toes, and he washed their feet. And he said, well, why did he do that? As an example to say, no one needs to start a foot washing ministry at Gethsemane Baptist Church, okay? And if someone does, don't take them up on it. That's weird, okay? But I will tell you, what was he saying? He wasn't saying wash people's feet. He was saying serve people. I've left you an example in this, is what he said. Whose example are we following? Paul said, there's a pattern. You've seen me follow Christ. If you need a flesh and blood example, here it is. Follow me as I follow Christ. He told the Corinthians that. But I want to see, secondly, here, not only the pattern of Paul, but the practice of Christians. Look at verse 9 again. The practice of Christians. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the next word? Do. You've seen the example, now execute. Hit the button. Those things, do. Do what? What you've seen. What you've learned. Do that. What you've heard. What you've watched Paul do. You've seen and you've learned. It doesn't help you if you don't do it. It doesn't help you if you don't do it. What's James 1:22 talk about? It talks about being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Because you deceive yourself. You go and say, well, I listened to the Bible. That's great. But did you do anything with the Bible? Because if you didn't do anything with the Bible, how did the Bible help you? How did it help you? Oh, that's the Word of God. Yeah, it's the Word of God. But it changes you when you change. It gives you the power to do something with it. We treat the Bible like a textbook sometimes. Oh, it's got a lot of information in it. But the Bible is more like a field manual. It's a field manual you take out into the field with you, and it shows you how to navigate life. I'm going to confess something to you. Slightly ashamed. I don't want to see any judgmental eyes amongst our men, okay? Because I know where you live, all right? I used to buy the Food Network magazine quite often. Okay, why? Because it had good food in it. Like, it looked really good. And so, you know, Thanksgiving time time comes around, and Bobby Flay's making some 15-ingredient chicken or something, or turkey, and all of that. I used to be like, you know what? I want to get into cooking. Some of you men and ladies, you're great cooks, and I thank God for how you have benefited me and our church through the years. My wife's an excellent cook, and she'll be cooking Chipotle this afternoon. No, I'm just kidding. She is an excellent cook. We've got the fellas coming over here, Jim and Glenn. But, I used to read those and think, I'm going to do this. I had a little grill. I've got a better grill now. I love to grill. I'm not great at it. But I used to get those magazines, and I'd read, okay, all right, those mashed potatoes look amazing. And then anything Mexican, I was like, where is it? Where, give me that. And I was looking for the good stuff, and I'd go through those magazines, and I would just be like, oh, this looks so wonderful. Can I tell you, like, for maybe a year or two, I did that years ago. You know how many recipes I cooked out of those magazines? Two. And I'm going to be honest with you. They weren't recipes. They were sides. It wasn't like, here's the meal I created. It was, here's the side I created. Two. It was, I have this incredible, I make it every year now, this cranberry relish, and then it was some kind of mashed potatoes or something, that are really good. But two, after all those magazines that I read and all of that, 2. I read the books, but I didn't cook. You know what? I can't be a great cook if I just read the books and don't cook anything. It's not how it works. You see, you gotta do something with the knowledge, right? A lot of us are trying to live the Christian life, but we're not Christianing. I just created a word. We're not doing anything. We read the book, say, oh, that's how it's done. And then what does it happen? It goes in the trash can or it goes under our bed, the magazine. Well, the Bible just goes on the shelf. And so what good does it do us? If we want to be a good Christian, you got to do the Bible. You got to do what it says. You have to live the life and do what God tells you to do. How does that work? Well, maybe you watch someone who's bold in their faith share the gospel and you're watching them and you see them witness to somebody. You observe it. What's the next step? Do it. Mimic it. Practice it. You saw the pattern. Now put it into practice. And you go, well, how do I do it? Practice makes perfect. You got to practice, though. You got to put it into practice. I went soul winning with my youth pastor and my pastor growing up because I had no idea what I was doing and I wanted to watch, and I watched everything they said to every person. I wasn't paying attention to what the house looked like, what the people looked like. I was watching them because I knew I was going to have to do this. They were going to make me do this, you know, just like singing the song. And I knew I was going to be a soul winner. And so I just watched them, everything they said, every mannerism. I went to college, and my father-in-law is probably the greatest soul winner I've ever known in my life. And he goes still, as a pastor, for all these years, he still goes about 14 hours every week soul winning. Amazing. I mean, there's nobody like him. And I remember before I even wanted to marry his daughter, or I barely even knew his daughter, which is now my wife, okay? But I went to him and I said, look, if you ever have time, I'd love to go soul winning with you. I'd love to, you could show me how to talk to people. And he taught a class at college about this. And I finally did get to go with him. And I was so consumed with, I want to know how to do this. And can I tell you, that has helped me through life. Let me help you with something. Easter was, what month is it? Is it June? Easter was 2 months ago. Friend Day was 7 months ago. I gave clear presentations of the gospel both times. We've had a couple funerals recently, clear presentations of the gospel. Were you watching? Did you pick up on it? That's how you do that. That's how you connect the verses. That's how. Were you watching? Were you aware of the example? Now, I'm not here to pick at you. I'm saying, if not, the next time learn. And I usually try to say, Christians, when I'm preaching on a big day, listen to how the gospel can be presented. Not that I do it perfectly, but I'm trying to teach and say, hey, are you listening? Are you watching closely? Because I want you to take it and mimic it and do it better than me somewhere and develop it. Some people don't want to learn, though, because knowledge brings responsibility. And they think, well, if I learn something, I'll be responsible for it. But learning itself is a responsibility in the Christian life. And if you don't learn, you're still responsible. Do what you have seen in Christ. Do what you see Christ do in the Bible. Watch what he does. Listen to what he says. Learn from it. Receive it. And then if you've got a Christian brother or sister in Christ that's doing it well and they're following God, they're following Scripture, then you know what? You can follow them too. But do something. Do something. Practice it. There's the pattern. There's the practice. Lastly, I'll be quick. I want you to see the last part of the verse talks about the presence of God. We saw the pattern of Paul, we see the practice of Christians, but do you see the presence of God there? Look at the last part, we're done. It says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Wow. Now remember earlier we said, what things is Paul referring to when he says, those things which you have both learned and received? What things? We're going to look at that in a second. And this does matter. This does matter because look at the benefit. The benefit is the God of peace shall be with you. The things that Paul is referring to are the things that we have learned about in this chapter. That's what Paul's referring to. In verse number 4, he says, rejoice. Rejoice. No matter what state you're in, choose to rejoice. Then he says in verse 5, let your moderation be known. Be gentle. Be gentle. Gentleness, we saw, flows from a heart of peace. When you are harsh, it means there's no peace inside. When you are gentle, it shows there's peace. Let people see and feel your gentleness. Verse 6, what's he say there? Don't worry, be happy. No, don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray. That's the be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. Verse 8, what's he say? Take control of your thoughts. Take control of your thoughts. Look at verse 8. What if you flipped everything in that verse? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are not true, whatsoever things are dishonest, they're not honorable, whatsoever things are unjust, whatsoever things are dirty, immoral, impure, whatsoever things are of a bad report, if there is no excellence, if there is nothing praiseworthy, do not think on those things. Are you taking control of the thoughts? And then in verse 9, what's he say? Do these things. Do the Bible. And you will notice in that moment when we're talking about peace in this chapter that the God of peace is with you in your life. In verse 7, he says, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. But in verse 9, he says, you don't just get the peace of God, you get the God of peace. You get the God of peace. Now, what's it saying there that, well, God's always with us? Yes, God's presence is always with you if you're a Christian. It's referring to the blessing of God's presence, the blessings that God gives when you are living in his presence. See, God's peace comes with his presence, and God's presence comes with his peace. You can't divorce the two. If you're living in God's presence, there's peace inside. And if you have peace inside, it's probably because you're living in God's presence. You may say, well, what about that? You know, his presence is with us all times. Yes, but when is the last time that you felt God's presence? When is the last time you enjoyed being in his presence? I'll tell you one story and I'm done. When I was graduating from high school, we had a guy that had graduated probably 3 or 4 years before me, and he was a state wrestling champion, or second place. He didn't get a championship, but in Illinois and Iowa, it's a big deal. Wrestling is a big deal. They have nothing else to do, so that's what they do. But and he was in our church, but he was a shorter guy. He's very strong, but he was a bully. And so he came with the youth pastor to my 18th, it was a surprise party, my 18th birthday party, or it was my graduation, one or the other. And he came there, I think I've told you the story before, and if you've never seen my dad, my dad's 5'8", he looks like he just, you know, came straight from Ireland, Scotland, he's got the red beard, he looks like, you know, a Scottish Viking or something, you know, and he's got the red hair, and he's just built like a tank. I mean, his forearms, his arm, he walks like this. He's 60-something years old, still does like 100 push-ups a day and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, where are those jeans, Dad? Thank you so much. But, you know, and then my brother is just, he's 5'9". He's not super tall, but he's the same as my dad as far as just the toughness. They inherited the toughness and all of that. My sister's husband is named Josh Weldon. He's the guy I always text when I'm trying to text Josh Melton. Josh Melton is his name. I mixed them up right now. And I always try to text Josh Weldon, and I text Josh Melton instead. Josh Melton is my brother-in-law, and he has been a bodybuilder type guy for years. He's just really, he's a big, strong guy. Anyway, I tell you this because on that birthday party, this guy in our youth department who was a wrestler and always wanted to wrestle people and prove how smart and how, not how smart, but how tough he was and how he could beat everybody. Well, he came up to me in our backyard and like grabbed my arm and said, I got to give you like your birthday thrashing or something like that. We had church members there. We had family. I had friends there. It was a surprise. I didn't know it was going to happen, so I'm all happy. And he's talking about he's going to take me down in the grass and put me in some hold and, like, choke me out or something. And he was serious. And my youth pastor's just laughing. I'm thinking, what's wrong with you, you know? And this whole thing. And so I was trying to be, I only ever got into altercations if I had to. I never sought them out. And I can take care of myself. But I was thinking, first of all, I'm not wrestling if we do this. I'm swinging. But I thought, I don't want to do any of this. I had just given my life to God. I've got church members, my pastor's coming, and all this stuff. My family's here. I was just like, you know, I don't want to do anything here. And so after a while, I said, no, you're not going to wrestle me. You're not taking me down. we're not doing that, you know, and I just kind of, I like talked him down, and I said, no, I'm not putting up with this or anything like that. Anyway, after it was all done, I went up to my mom, and I said, can you believe, like, do you see what happened there? And because she had seen, and I said, did you see what happened? Like, why would he do that? Why, you know, like, it just, it made me, like, nervous, and I was like, you know, when you're about to get into an altercation, you know, just blood, adrenaline starts going, and I'm like, man, this is not going to be good. Why would he do that? Why would he do that at my birthday party? And my mom was, like, washing dishes, and she said, he wasn't going to do anything. I'm like, what do you mean? And she says, he wasn't going to do anything. I said, why do you say that, Mom? And she said, you didn't see? I said, no. She said, behind you, there was your dad. His arms are like this, too. He's like, you know. And like some of you, I've told stories about my dad. Like, you don't mess with that man. I got stories. He's a Navy guy. He's tough. There was my brother standing next to my dad. And there was Josh standing next to him. I didn't see it. I tell you what, though, I almost wish the guy would have taken me down. Because none of those three were in church at the time, and they would have put a hurt on him like he deserved. But you know what? I didn't get to enjoy their presence. I didn't get to enjoy the fact that they were right there. So because I didn't know their presence was there, I didn't have peace. I was troubled. I was anxious. And I feel like God so often is standing there as the God of heaven and earth, looking after his children in a corrupt, wicked world, that he could just go, there goes China. You know, he could do anything. And oftentimes we have no peace and we're so scared and worried about everything, because we're not acknowledging the presence of our Father. And Paul is saying in this last part, if you'll do the things you see in this chapter, you won't miss the blessings of the presence of God. So today, I just ask, who are you watching? Who are you following? I ask, what are you doing with what you're learning? Then I'd ask, are you following the Word of God and enjoying the presence of God? And then if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God can become your heavenly Father if you would be willing to repent of trying to earn your way to heaven, turn away from that, say, I don't want my sin, that's keeping me from God, and I'm going to turn to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to accept him as my Savior. If you're willing to do that, you could become part of the family of God. Our Father, I thank you so much that you are in our lives, that you're not an absentee Father, you are hands-on, and your presence is always there. Thank you for the pattern that you left, Lord Jesus, for us to follow. Thank you that we have a Bible that we can practice. Thank you so much, God, for your presence in our lives.